Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today? The creative power of disillusionment. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust, and she wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy. Now, those 24 books of esoteric philosophy are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. People are being rapidly disillusioned and will consequently see more clearly. The world glamour is being steadily removed from the ways of human beings. These two developments have been brought about by the incoming new ideas, focused through the world intuitives, and released to the general public by the world thinkers. Can you give us an illustration of disillusionment today?
Yes, I think so. There are probably numerous illustrations. I suppose because our work has been focused on disillusionment recently due to our upcoming symposium on this very title, The Creative Power of Disillusionment, on November 18th, we've had the concept of disillusionment in our consciousness, and every day I open up the New York Times and I see references to that word. Various people are disillusioned with the government. Bush is disillusioned with, I don't know, all of us for not supporting him, and different groups within our society are disillusioned. So it's a time, I think, when a lot of assumptions and ideals are crumbling, and it leaves people feeling uncertain and unsteady. But interestingly, from the standpoint of the ageless wisdom, that can be a productive thing. And that's why Alice Bailey speaks of people being rapidly disillusioned and, as a result, being able to see more clearly. Illusion, as she defines it, is the power that an idea or a thought form or a concept has to dominate the mind of an individual or of a whole people. And it leads to limitation. It puts blinders on, you could say. And these illusions come with the kinds of ideas we inherit about our race, our class, our background, and they also are found in the current trends, the modern ideas that are currently in vogue, and that are accepted assumptions that people don't question enough, because on a certain level they do apply, they do have a certain amount of truth. It's when they are translated into a complete truth that the problem of illusion intervenes, don't you think?
Yes, and it's very easy to fall into that, because, I mean, I think we're all subject to that kind of trap we get into of believing that our way is best. And you see this, I think, with the emphasis we have in this country on democracy. Democracy is good. But it's good for us, but it may not be good for the rest of the world, for a lot of other countries in the world. So it's not something that we should impose on other societies, I don't think. And the tendency may be in some to believe that democracy is the only way and the best way for everybody to follow, and so there is a tendency to want to impose it on the world. And it's the same with many of our religious ideals, too. The tendency there is to impose our ideals because we're the world's superpower, and it's we've discovered the best way to do things.
Yes, we have. And we're living with that disillusionment right now at this period in history. Another example of illusion arising because a partial truth is mistaken for the complete truth is the example, all men are created equal. Yes, that's true. But if one doesn't make any allowance for differences in evolution and in cultural and religious and national characteristics, it becomes a limited concept, because any reasoning person can look around him or her and see that not everybody's on an equal footing. Not everybody is playing with the same deck of cards, so to speak. It will be replaced, the concept that all men are equal will, I think, be replaced by the idea of a true spiritual brotherhood, or if people prefer, a brother and sisterhood, a sense of fellowship and of shared humanity that makes all human beings equal before the eyes of the one Father, so to speak, equal in origin and equal and divine in destiny, but at a particular point on the evolutionary path at many different levels of development. These are examples that we've given, democracy and equality, of illusions that become misunderstood and applied too broadly, and they take on a certain crystallization because they're ideals and people love the basic concept, and that in fact worsens their grip on human minds because an ideal is very hard to let go of. I think that's what's happening now in the world. Some of our most cherished ideals are being, we're being forced to release them, but it's painful because we've never thought beyond them, and now we have to.
Well, that's why disillusionment is good, because
it hurts so much.
It hurts so much. But it's an opportunity for change,
yes.
And for change, for necessary change, because, as you say, we've become so enamored by democracy, but democracy is really a transitory kind of ideal. And ideal, as you mentioned brotherhood and a spiritual brotherhood, a spiritual understanding of our relationship. It's with other people in the world, with ourselves and within our nation and with other nations. If we can ever achieve even a grasp of understanding of this concept of brotherhood, this is the great ideal that is being held out before humanity now as the next ideal to replace democracy. And it's a very difficult ideal to grasp, but I think it's there for the as it says in our opening statement, for the intuitives in the world, and kind of bring through that idea and make it more understandable.
I think it's this idea of illusion and disillusionment is a stage that every thinking person passes through, probably repeatedly. It's part of how we learn to think, how we form concepts, how we form thought forms, ideas about different aspects of life. We begin by forming them, and then we apply them to everything that we think is appropriate, and then we discover their limitations. We see the concepts break down, and gradually we expand our thinking and our understanding to be more inclusive. It's all part of how we learn to use the mind. And one of the best means for guarding against disillusionment, I think, is to apply discrimination. Discrimination in the sense that the mind has to learn to distinguish the kernel of truth within any particular idea or belief or ideal and let go of all the rest of it. There is a kernel of truth that remains perennial, I think we could say. Certainly in the concept of equality there is. And in democracy, the kernel of truth, I suppose, is that the human being, by right, must think and take a stand and express himself on the issues of his time. That's what democracy is predicated on, isn't it? That we turn out with a well-informed opinion and vote. But the actual practice of it is something else. And so the ideal of democracy is being called into question, particularly when it's shoved at societies that aren't ready for it and may not want it. It doesn't mean that there isn't a kernel of truth and goodness in that concept, but it has to be applied with wisdom, and that's what life teaches us, wisdom.
Yes, and it a thing like an ideal like democracy depends on a informed public, and that means where the mind is awake and can think creatively. And that's kind of a demand on society that not everybody measures up to, I think.
Yeah. Well, yes, staying for a moment with the idea of democracy, it puts a terrific demand on society. And I could say this society isn't really up to that demand if only half the voting electorate turn out to vote. It's a real responsibility. It's a real pressure. I sometimes wonder if people should be forced to vote. You know, there's this idea that it should be required. There should be laws making everybody get up and go out and vote. Wouldn't they just vote their ignorance? And do we want that? But anyway, we're digressing. How do we figure out whether we have a real idea in our mind or just an idée fixe or an ideal that is something we worship but doesn't really express a true recognition? How do we sort all that out? Well, the ancient teacher Patanjali, whom we've mentioned, gives us the guidelines in his Yoga Sutras that go back, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 years. They're the earliest written form of spiritual teaching, and one studies them by applying the principles he gives for figuring out what we know, how to distinguish between knowledge, the act of knowing, and the knower, and how we recognize truth and illusion. The book by Alice Bailey, Light of the Soul, is a translation of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, if anyone is interested in reading it. And there are many good translations of the Yoga Sutras. It's a good idea, I think, to study 4 or 5 of them at the same time and see the differences in translation for these 4 books that comprise the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. It's a wonderful study.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today: the creative power of disillusionment. This is a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, and even for the person who intends to be a serious student of Alice Bailey, this is a wonderful idea, because every topic here is abridged. And you can more or less develop an insight as to which topics you'd like to approach first in your study of the larger books. And then you can make an order of priority as to which topics are of greater interest to you. And then that would help your studying a great deal. The book, Ponder on This, is available for $19. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So that's $19. What you need to do, if you'd like to take advantage of this offer, is to send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And write a little notation saying that you heard about the offer on the program Inner Sight. Now, as far as our staying on the air, we certainly that we find it quite a challenge to cover all the monetary expenses to have this show stay on. We certainly rely on your donations, whether large or small, to remain on the air. You know, think of it this way. One time someone sent in a donation of $180 to Lucis Trust, and when you look upon that donation over the course of a year, you're talking about less than 50 cents a day. And I think that's very little to spend when you think of all you get from this particular program. You develop a knowledge of the spiritual side of yourself. You also hear a lot of discussions having to do with how you're connected to the universe and how the universe is connected to you, and you develop levels of understanding about who you are. So there's so much that you do get for your donation, so why don't you just help us out and send a donation to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005, and that would certainly help us to stay on the air and pay for these radio shows. Now, we have a website also. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. And on the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website, and also you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. And also, if you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason whatsoever, you can give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866 New York Lucis. You know, we're having a symposium. Maybe we'll get to meet some of you. It'll be on November 18th, and it'll be from 1:30 to 5:15. And the topic of the theme of the symposium will be the creative power of disillusionment. And of course, we've been speaking about that today. But you know, in order to, I think it would be best if Sarah said something more about the symposium, because she's best able to. Sarah, you'd like to add something to that?
Yes, this theme of the creative power of disillusionment is one that we're going to explore through talks and group discussions and meditation, not only in New York, but in our other two headquarters too, in London and Geneva on the same day. So there's going to be this major group focus on the idea of disillusionment of the present times and the potential that it holds for new thinking, new realization. What's interesting with the meeting in New York is that we've engaged the guest speaker, Don Beck, who is one of the co-founders of Spiral Dynamics. Some of our listeners might be aware of Spiral Dynamics. It's a system for understanding human development that was first pioneered by the late psychologist Claire Graves. And his work was carried on by Don Beck and by Chris Cowan, who call it Spiral Dynamics. It's a means for understanding and interpreting human growth. And it reveals the complexity of global diversity and of how we effect change and how we evolve as a species. It's a way of understanding human differences that overcomes the tendency towards prejudice and the tendency towards ranking and disparaging those who are different than us. Spiral Dynamics says that change occurs in consciousness, and that our level of consciousness is expressed in terms of our values, and that we're not all at the same place. And that's because of our past experience, our present needs, and our future values and goals. And it doesn't mean that each of us is assigned to a particular level and we're stuck in it. I think Spiral Dynamics says that all of us are kind of a mixture of different levels, or memes, as it's called in spiral dynamics, and we operate at these different memes according to the circumstance. And each of these levels is identified by a different color, which is quite interesting. It's a system of psychology that's been used to bring about better relations in inner cities by Don Beck. And he traveled, I believe, over 60 times to South Africa when that country was making its transition from apartheid to democracy. He used the system of spiral dynamics to help them achieve a new relationship between the different races in the society. And it's been applied in businesses and in educational systems. I think we'll learn a lot about it through his talk on November 18th.
And it's very related to the esoteric traditions of consciousness in the sense that it's related to the unfoldment of consciousness, and that's essentially what we are talking about on these programs quite often, is the unfoldment of consciousness. It's like the unfoldment of a flower and the blossoming at a certain time, at a certain stage in one's life, in one's development. And it doesn't all happen in one lifetime. It, all this awakening is goes on over a whole series of lifetimes. And this spiral dynamics kind of lays out the different stages that every human being goes through, or is going through now, or will go through at some time in their whole long journey on this earth. And so it's, if you can see it in that perspective, then it makes a kind of an interesting analogy there.
One of the interesting aspects of spiral dynamics that I think Dr. Beck will discuss at our symposium is the difference between what he calls first-tier thinking and second-tier thinking. And I believe that's one of the major premises of his theory, that first-tier memes, as he calls them, generally resist the emergence of second-tier memes. And what we are seeing in the world today, he believes, is the conflict caused by people who are still stuck in the first-tier memes of historically accepted views of life that range from the survival instinct to the aggressive me-first attitude to the people who are reliant upon accepted laws, traditions, and ordered patterns of living, to the people who are breaking through into more of a community-based consciousness. There's great difference among all those levels, and yet all of them, he would say, I think, are assigned to the first tier. And the second tier is the few people within every society that are able to reach beyond the accepted and traditional concepts that have governed most people's lives, and that are inclusive and free in their way of viewing the world and their place in the world. And the conflict between these two levels of viewing life is part of what we're seeing in the world today. I think this ties in very much with what Alice Bailey would say is the values of the old age in conflict with the incoming values of the new age.
Right, and the values that of the first tier group of people, which is a very large group, actually, he lays out a certain percentage. Somehow the percentage seems to be 70 or 80% of the people in this studies that belong to that first tier.
As well as probably all of us.
Yes.
Yeah, Let's not get too carried away here.
And then the second tier people are a much smaller group of people, but they're, I think that if we can apply it to this whole theme of disillusionment, that maybe there is a pattern there where the second tier people can help provide a way out of the disillusionment stage that many people for now that are going through right now, And so it's these more intuitive thinkers that do provide some kind of guidance if the second stage tier of people are willing to listen. That's the whole question there.
Yes, I think they become willing to listen as their precious ideals and cherished concepts crumble. And that's what's so creative about the present time. And another very creative time, I think, was during the World War. Creative in the sense that something new could develop. Anytime you're in a period of crisis, as we've said so many times, when things are crumbling, that's when the new can be recognized and welcomed. When the old no longer satisfies or assuages suffering. And so this is a very productive time. And I think that the idea of understanding people in terms of their values and understanding human differences, not in terms of race, religion, and so on, but in terms of consciousness, is really fascinating. That means people of any background, culture, or religion can find their compatriots in a level of consciousness that they share, and it breaks away from the old prejudices and the old ways of compartmentalizing and differentiating people. So this exploration of disillusionment on November 18th is, I think, going to be very fascinating. We'll have plenty of time for group discussion. We'll have Dr. Don Beck of Spiral Dynamics, who's coming all the way from Texas. We'll have a talk on some stabilizing mechanisms for a creative future. We'll have meditation. And everyone who is interested, please come check our website.
I think one of the greatest illusions that that I've been introduced through Alice Bailey is the illusion of the whole idea that we're all separate, as exemplified by our separate physical bodies. Could you comment on that illusion a little bit?
Well, yes, that's the most profound illusion of all, that we are separate on a fundamental level. Absolutely.
Maybe we'll go more into that in another show, but you've been listening to Inner Sight. But before we go further, I'd like to say that I want to remind you once again about what Sarah said, the symposium on Saturday, November 18th, 2006, and it's from 1:30 to 5:15. If you would like to go, it's going to be at 24 East 39th Street between Park and Madison. It's called at the Williams Club. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.